From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I, of course, am Dan Frio. Today's show, we're going to go over a whole bunch of stuff, and I got a special guest here. And what I want to talk about today is a few things. There's some refinance programs that are easy to take advantage of, so you can take advantage of the low rates. So that's one section of the show that's going to be. I always have a credit hack, so I'll explain one little thing that you could do to increase your credit scores, fast and simple. The reference of today's show is going to be basically insanity. Today, I have a special guest, Ron Sandick. He's former mayor of Downers Grove and also Illinois state rep. The reason I asked him in here was we had Eric Cohn on recently, and we talked about how messed up the state of Illinois is. And one of the questions that I had was, can you file a bankruptcy as a state, or what part of the government parts or towns or cities or townships or whatever, what can they do individually maybe to clean up their financials and, you know, help their situation, help them get through some tough times? So that's why I asked Ron to come in to explain that to us. But then I also want to, if you're listening to this live, you most likely live in Illinois. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Ron introduced things several years ago, and so did a lot of other politicians throughout the time, such as term limits, pension reform. One of the videos I saw Ron in was 7 years ago. So that's what I want to talk about today, is basically some of the, is there a way that Illinois as a state can clean up their act, or what can little townships or cities or those entities do to kind of help their financial positions? So welcome, Ron. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here, Dan.
Good
Thank
morning.
You. Good morning.
So I wanted just to be a candid conversation. We kind of had a little bit of conversation off mic, and I was like, let's stop, because this is exactly what I want to have on mic. So tell everybody a little bit about you, and then we'll kind of peruse through some of the things we were talking about previously.
Sure. I served in municipal government for 8 years. I ended up being a one-term mayor of Downers Grove. I went to the Illinois legislature, served for 6 years, and now I'm a recovering politician. But I still have an interest in and concerns about our great state and the municipal layers. And there's lots of layers of government in Illinois, more than any state in the union.
Got it.
So the insanity part you mentioned, we have insanity on steroids in Illinois.
Yeah.
And in order to fix anything, we have to, one, acknowledge the problems, plural, two, start taking drastic measures, because incremental slow change, well, that ship has sailed, man, way long ago. So now we're kind of in a desperation mode. We need to empower people to help themselves and these local units of government so they can be protective of assets, people's tax bases, their jobs, their futures. Or there's some real downside.
When I had Eric on the show last time, the biggest thing, it was right at the time with the teacher strike.
Sure.
So one of the things we talked about was pensions. And that's where, you know, I saw several of the bills that you introduced was pension reform.
You bet. That went nowhere.
Again, insanity, because if you put it up for vote, it would probably pass 99-1 by the people.
You bet.
Does there need correction there? Yes.
You bet.
Why nothing going on?
Because it's easier to do nothing, stick your head in the sand and do the ostrich defense than actually make tough decisions. And remember something, Dan, there is collusion, and I'm using that word intentionally, between the people in charge in Springfield and those benefiting from public pensions. Look, you look at the donor lists, you look at the supporters list of almost every Democrat in Springfield, and they are supported by, directly or indirectly, SEIU, AFSCME, the teachers union, who are very powerful, and a variety of police, fire, and other public sector unions and beneficiaries. So if you're coming in as kind of a sponsored hero, if you will, of these entities, how the heck are you going to vote against them, right? I don't know if you're a NASCAR fan, but one of the best things that could happen to Illinois politicians is to wear a uniform with patches of your various campaign donors so that everyone could see in a transparent way where you're coming from and what you're bringing to the dance. But the reason pension reforms ever gotten off the ground is because these are ingrained institutional forces that will just not let it go anywhere. And the ironic part, Dan, is these funds are failing. They're failing and they're falling behind ever more. And so you're trying to tell people, hey, I get it. You don't want your pension changed, but it's changing to the bad right in front of you. It's going down. The taxpayers' contributions are going up, but the values are going down.
Right.
And that's the thing that, you know.
This is kind of going to be a sarcastic question or response. So we have collusion. We have bribery. How do we get impeachment?
Yeah.
So let's go after transcripts. Do you see where I'm going with this whole conversation?
There's analogies that work here.
So we got collusion. We have bribery. Let's get some transcripts. Somebody's going to get impeached or go to jail. Here's a comment. This is kind of on the topic, but off the topic. I try to stay up with all the politics and all the news and everything. You mentioned Madigan's in some trouble. It's brand new news to me, so I apologize.
No. It's actually, frankly, a long time coming. So over the last several months, there have been a number of interesting but completely connected events. Friends and political allies of Mike Madigan have had their homes raided. They've been subpoenaed to produce documents. There's a grand jury impaneled to review evidence. And there are, I guess I'd call them tranches or certain areas of where this investigation, this is the federal government. There's a Commonwealth Edison component. There's a construction contracts and a gambling component. There's one state rep who's already resigned because he took a bribe. There's another state senator who has resigned because he is the focus of considerable allegations of graft and corruption. There's another state senator who allegedly, according to the Sun-Times and Tribune, was wearing a wire. The amount of lobbyists, legislators, friends and family connected to the Madigan circle are unquestionably under the microscope right now. There is a massive, sweeping federal investigation. What it renders, I can't tell you, Dan, but something's coming and it's something big.
So this would be, this shows insanity.
There you go.
The state is so bad. We're the joke of the country. I'm originally from West Virginia. So when you talk about states that are a joke, wearing these shoes are uncomfortable. I'm not used to it. I do have all my teeth, things like that. So, but then when you go to the financial responsibility section,
you bet.
Illinois is a mess. Again, insanity.
Yeah.
My first question to you, when you just walked in, I'm like, is Madigan really in that much control of all of this? And your response was yes.
You bet. Absolutely.
So we talked a little bit about how do we change the insanity? And then you had the analogy of a few things.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is I used to say, if you had asked me 7 years ago, 5 years ago, I would have said, Madigan's passing, his retirement. But now I would add his
indictment,
something that absolutely crumbles his machinery. And this investigation is tearing into the fabric of his political machinery. And even if they don't nab him directly, those around him are exposed and are being exposed. And this kind of pulls the twine of his entire cover and weakens it. And hopefully, because the state of play in Illinois is insane. The way power has been concentrated in this person's hands is insane. And these are direct, the state's financial morass is a result of this nonsense. Him coming down and or his little fiefdom being reduced, markedly reduced, inures to the benefit of taxpayers and Illinois residents. It's a good thing. That would break one strand of this insane state we find ourselves in. That's a net positive.
Got it. Everybody complains about the drugs in Chicago, the crime in Chicago, the shootings in Chicago, the gangs in Chicago, the educational system in Chicago, but it doesn't change.
No.
And again, that's the whole point of insanity.
We just double down on the same policies that continue it.
And I don't get it. I really don't get it why people keep voting the same way. I mean, between gerrymandering and other things.
So one of my bills that I tried to get done 7 years ago that failed utterly was a FAIR Maps amendment, right? The idea that we could actually have people pick politicians rather than politicians pick their districts.
Right. Yeah.
Which is what Illinois is still to this day. Our governor ran, one of his winning planks was, I'm going to bring fair maps to the people. Now, he has not moved the needle one iota since becoming governor. Many have reminded him or tried to remind him that this is a good governance reform necessary item that, frankly, needs to happen. I have my share of skepticism, frankly, cynicism on this, but I'm hopeful still. But that's one of the things, you know, term limits, getting politicians back to their lives, serve, do something good and get out or move up. Fair maps so that people can actually have a say in the democracy. You know, we talked a little bit about the financial mess that is Illinois. And I proposed a bankruptcy bill for municipalities so that there was some organized method of reorganizing and, you know, making some of these suburbs and towns and cities that are financially just adrift to readjust and hopefully reacclimate themselves so they can be what they're supposed to be, providing basic services to the residents. Right now, we have towns on the cusp of financial, you know, wreck. And there's only a few ways to save money in local towns. You cut fire, police, and public works. Well, that's why local government exists.
Right.
So that was one. And frankly, getting rid of some units of government. We have too darn much government in Illinois, tripping over each other. And we have, you look at your tax bill. I mean, you know,
it's
this,
nuts.
Right?
It's nuts.
There's 27 lines on it.
Yep. Yeah. It's crazy. So when we come back, I'm going to quiz you. We're going to do some Q&A.
Yeah.
I'm completely confused with, you know, is there a way to fix all this? And then I have some common questions that I'm sure listeners would have the same one. So don't go away. We'll be right back. If you want to ask any questions, please give us a call at 833-DAN-FRIO. That's D-A-N-F-R-I-O. God bless. Don't go away.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I'm Dan Frio. I have special guest Ron Sanek here with me today, former mayor of Downers Grove and also a former Illinois State Representative. And right now I want to just go over Q&As because if I have these questions, I'm sure everybody else has these questions. And here's what's nice to see. I've had several people in the government, especially in Illinois, on the show. You all have a good heart. I always say people get into politics, I truly feel, for the right reason, unless you're, you know, generational and you're just in that.
Well, we have that in Illinois.
Yeah, I know.
We have some bequeathed.
I know. But I mean, other than that, I think the majority of people that are want to get in are doing it for the right reasons.
I agree.
But then you get into it and you realize there's nothing I can do. So either one of two things. I get out because I have couth behind me and I want to live a good life, I guess. Or you just say, heck with it. I'm just going to ride along with the boys club. I'm going to get my term in. I'm going to get my pay, get my pensions, get as much of that perky stuff, the bribery thing I always call it. It's campaign financing or whatever it's called. You know what I'm talking about. The bribery part. And you just go with it and ride it as long as you can and gerrymander and stay in there forever and don't do anything. And it's a great living. But it's kind of cool to see that there are people that are down there really fighting, but it's like banging your head against the wall.
Well, it is banging your head against the wall. I think you're absolutely correct with your premise. I think most come to Springfield with an idea what they want to do, and it's a genuine feeling, perspective, idea. I think some realize quickly that unless they're in the right lane with the right people, they're largely ineffective.
Right.
Others don't care to be effective after they realize that. They go, it's okay. I'll be a backbencher. I'll collect my pay, my pension. Someone will take me to dinner. I'll get a decent steak. I'll get to be a big shot in a small, pond, go to a parade, wave the rubber chicken dinner circuit, you know, rinse, repeat, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so, and then I think those are the ones, Dan, that somehow lose perspective and then kind of join the gang and self-fulfillment, right?
Yeah.
And they lose perspective. Look, life isn't black and white. It's shades of gray. But I think in Springfield, the gray becomes blurred quickly.
What's nuts on the outsider point of view is you see these people go in and, you know, I know in the federal section, I think the salaries are like 150 grand. Mm-hmm. 150 grand is a lot of money.
It is.
It's not that much money.
But you can get a nice mortgage. You can place someone in a nice house. But
you're
right.
Not going to be able to afford a $4 million home in California and then a $2 million condo in Florida and then a summer home in the Hamptons.
No,
and then,
they get a pension. They don't pick up a dinner tab.
Yeah.
But I hear you. So, but they also have inside information to things and they can put themselves in a space and a place where they can capitalize.
I never knew that was legal. That might be another show that we have.
Shady stuff.
You can actually inside trade if you're in the government.
It's because shady stuff.
And then they're going to vote these things in.
Because
that's,
if you look
that's
at
a whole other show, maybe.
It is. Because if you look at what they make as they come into Congress or the Senate, and what they leave with, they end up being pretty rich people whole.
And now, as an outsider, we sit here and it's like, how do you have four homes on 150 grand?
Right.
I don't get it. And then their net worth is $10 million. And it's like, and then you're preaching, for the poor. And it's like, come on, really? Really? So let me ask you a question. And this is going to be, I'm going to throw out a broad net. If you were to go in and it said, okay, Ron, you handle the state, get it in its fiscal order. I know that I'm throwing you a huge curveball, but I'm sure you've been asked, what would you do in its simplest form? I know that behind the screen, there's a gazillion things you'd have to do, but what would be the main kind of three or four topics that you would say, this needs to be addressed? If we did this, then we could do that, and then we could do that, and then there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
So to make the light not be an onrushing train, I think I would do probably half a dozen things, and in no particular order, Dan, because this is a good question. And I would bring in two or three accounting firms and divvy up the work so that they did forensic accountings and forensic audits of the various units of state government. And I'd give them 120 days to give me a report and find me the fat, the waste, the abuse that I know as a former state rep is there. But I need it identified, and I need all the politics out of it. Number two, I would put on the ballot term limits. I'd put it right to the voters. I'd make the case that this is the way to exorcise the demons of the past about bad governance. Tailing that or attached to that is that fair maps provision that blows out the gerrymandering and ensures, along with term limits, we don't have careerists running Illinois again. Takes away that gray area of self-fulfillment you and I were just talking about. Then put in a balanced budget amendment that requires that actual budgets be actually balanced. Dan, a little piece of factoid cocktail knowledge for you. Illinois has not really had a balanced budget since 2001. Yeah. Every year over year, spending has increased. We got to live within our means. If our budget, if we only have $39 billion to work with, we don't budget for $43, right? We get the state on a payment plan for all those creditors. We have almost $7 billion in unpaid vendors, right? That's who we're borrowing from. It's preposterous. And then most importantly is pension reform. We actually do it. Yes, it will hurt everyone almost equally. Pensioners need to know they now have a reliable return, but it's not going to be 100% on the dollar. Maybe it's 79 cents or 81 cents on the dollar. Still, way better than the private sector is putting out. Social Security, 401ks, add them together. Public pensioners are still doing better. But that reduction and game plan, and I would consolidate some of the municipal funds. I would find efficiencies at every turn. That's what I would do if I were ruler for a week.
Got it. Okay. I was keeping notes of some of these things. I actually had a friend of mine, I'm not going to say who it was, that I think it was their brother-in-law, was hired by the state. This was years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago. He was hired by the state to come in and do kind of an audit and, basically look over the numbers and see, what can we do or whatever. He said it is so, this was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It is so bad. And the proposals he came up with, basically everyone got struck down.
You bet.
So it's like, what's the point?
You'd have to actually have teeth.
Insanity.
Correct.
I'm just going to go through term limits. My question is, if the people want term limits, which I think if you asked 100 people, 99 people would say yes. How do you get that on the ballot?
Well, if you remember, a governor who was a lousy governor, but was probably right on two-thirds of his ideas, Bruce Rauner, tried to get that on the ballot. The Illinois Supreme Court struck it down. The Illinois Supreme Court is an elected body. People forget that. And as political, in a high art, high brow, legal way, as the General Assembly is a little more overt, we would need to get the right constitutional lawyers involved in the right petition drive. It can be accomplished. No doubt about it.
So even though 99% of the people want it, doesn't mean that it could. It's going to have to go through bureaucracy
Hopefully, we go around the bureaucracy and go right to the voters. But we need to make sure we do it in a pristine fashion.
Got it. Okay. Fair maps. The
same thing there.
Yeah. Here was my analogy on this. The insanity part, and I might be wrong, so no defamation or anything. I remember several years ago, Jesse Jackson Jr. was up for vote, and I'm almost positive, and I didn't do my research, so this is
opinion.
Yes. He was under indictment at the time, I think, and also in a hospital for a mental breakdown or something of that sort. And he won.
Dan, there was a state rep.
That's crazy.
There was a state rep that was indicted, thrown out of office, got back on the ballot and won in Illinois. So depending on districts and the political machine behind the candidate, indictment, hospital stay, notwithstanding, those are... Man, what are you talking about, man? I'm going to put my guy back in office.
Jesse Jackson Jr. was actually my representative, and so was Mel Reynolds, who was his predecessor.
Oh, you're two for two there.
Oh, yeah. And let's not forget Stroger and the replacement of him on the ballot after his stroke with his son, even though Forrest Claypool would have been the logical choice as the next runner-up.
So I still bring that back to it has to be gerrymandering.
Totally.
Or people are just crazy.
Well, think about the two together, too, Dan. This is a suggestion I've tried to get people to ponder. Term limits and fair maps go hand in hand.
Yeah.
They are the cleansing mechanism of bad governance, right? We get rid of the careerists who we've been talking about because of term limits, and we ensure people have the right to pick their elected officials in a clean map environment that isn't picked by the politicians who end up being careerists. Both ends of the spectrum here.
I'm glad I had you on here, but it ticks me off these are things in my mind and you watch on the news, but then to validate it with you sitting, you were there.
I was.
It's just like,
it's mad, man.
Insanity. As we talk about these things, every one of them is just, it's nuts.
It is nuts. And we wonder why Illinois is a laughing stock of the country. We wonder why we have the worst funded pension statewide and municipality. We wonder why we have the most state debt. We wonder why people are leaving our state in droves more than any other state.
Got it.
This is the sum total of that nonsense.
Awesome. I wanted to talk about municipal bankruptcies.
Oh, I can talk about that all day long.
I could have sworn that Detroit at one point filed bankruptcy.
They did.
Okay.
Real quick. Chapter 9 exists in the bankruptcy code, but it requires the state to enable its municipalities to do that.
Okay.
Detroit. California's had 6-7 bankruptcies of Vallejo, Stockton. Illinois legislature won't enable that provision because it messes up with the public sector unions, Dan.
So it's possible.
Totally possible.
It's possible. Awesome. So if you'd like to tune into that, check me out on my podcast and also my YouTube. It's The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. You can find that on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Play. Thank you again, Ron Sandick. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. If you'd like to call us, please call 833-DAN-FRIO, D-A-N-F-R-I-O. So thanks for tuning in today. Today, I want to talk about easy refinance programs. Easy. How easy? All we do is we pull your credit score, we pull your mortgage history, and as long as you made your last 12 mortgage payments on time and you have over a 580 credit score, you can refinance with no appraisal, no income. What happens is, first thing is people are saying, Dan, you're crazy. That is exactly what put us in the last position we were when the markets crashed. And my response would be absolutely not.
How could it be the same thing that got us into the pickle the last time? If these are people who already own these houses,
right?
You're just making it more affordable for them.
Right. But I get this because I'll have a show or a YouTube video and I get this comment. So let me go over these programs with you. There's basically two of them that are very easy to qualify. And basically the parameters are just like I said. As long as you made your last 12 mortgage payments on time and you have over a 580 credit score, you can refinance with no appraisal, no income. You're paying your house payment right now is $1,500 and you pay it like a shot. The criteria of the program is your payment has to go down at least 5%. So if you're making a $1,500 house payment, let's say your rate's 5, and I can today get you 3.875, and that's not, I'm just quoting this as a kind of hypothetical, and your payment goes down $150 a month. The premise behind it is, well, if you can make a $1,500 payment and you've never missed a payment, now your payment's $1,350, it's helping you and it's not hurting anything. Basically, that's the premise behind it. So here's the criteria behind, there's two particular programs that I have that does this. And what prompted me to do this was I received a call this week and two emails. People saying, I have an FHA loan. I've been in it for 4 years. My rate's 5 and I want to refinance. However, and there's always that however, I'm on my new job for 6 months now. I didn't have a job for 2-3 months because my significant other got sick or whatever the circumstances were. And but I've never missed a payment. My credit scores are okay, but my biggest issue is my job history. And also, I don't know if my house appreciated much. So my comment comes back and says, yes, have you made your last 12 payments on time? Yes. What's your credit score? And it seems like everybody knows their credit score. And when I talk about credit hacks later, I'm going to go over, you know, just briefly on where you can go to get your credit scores. So the lady responds and she says, I have about a 630 credit score. My concern again is I have a brand new job, but I was out of the market for several months and I talked to another lender and they said that because of my job gap, they were going to have a tough time qualifying me. And I said, well, I won't. Because you have an FHA loan and you haven't missed a payment in the last 12 months and your credit scores are over 580. So basically, it's just a lot of paperwork that I got to do. And it's basically on my end. Mostly everything that I send you is eDocs. And what I mean by eDocs, we send you an email, you put in a code, and you just sit there and click, 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 click all the signatures on where the signatures need to be. So let me explain the two programs that I have. One is if you have an FHA loan, we can do this. Again, as long as you made your last 12 payments on time and your credit score is over 580, that's basically all I need. However, the caveat behind all this is I have to reduce your payment by 5% and or your interest rate by at least 0.5%. So in this case, the lady, if I recall right, she was at 5.25 and I locked her in at 3.875. Think about it. So that's if you have an FHA loan. It's almost identical if you have a VA loan. So again, as long as you haven't missed a payment in the last 12 months, your credit score is over 580, you should be able to refinance to a lower rate. So if you're out there, today's rates are in the range of, they're right, let's just say they're right about 4. They might be between 3.75 and 4%. So if your rate is over 4.5% or higher, and you have an FHA or a VA loan, please let me know. Licensed now in, I think it's 25 or 28 states. So I always ask people to do this. Go to my website. It's thefrioteam.com. You spell Frio, F-R-I-O. Or call me at 844-775-LOAN, which loan is 5626. Or email me. I'll give you all the possibilities on how to get me. My email is D for Dan, Frio, F-R-I-O, at parksidelending.com. All I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm not high-pressure sales, I'm just going to go through all the criteria with you, what the qualifications are, I'll pull your credit, and I'll get back with you and say, okay, here's what I can do. Here's what I can do or what I can't do. I leave it up to you at that point. I'm not going to call you every hour on the hour saying, if you don't pull the trigger by, you know, noon today, you don't have a loan or I can't get you that rate. I basically will respond back to you saying, here's what I got. If I can help you, God bless us. You know, I'd be more than happy to help. But if I don't hear from you, I might follow up once and say, okay, just wanted to check and make sure you got my email and looked at the numbers. Does it make sense? Do you want to move forward or not? If you do, great. If you don't, hey, no hard feelings. We tried. At least you looked into it. That's all I ask. Okay, so that's that part of it. So again, FHA, if you have an FHA loan or a VA loan and you're paying on time, don't worry about your income. Don't worry about your appraisal because I should be able to help you as long as your rate is a half a percent or more. I usually try to trigger it at about 0.75 or 1%. But it also depends on your loan amounts. If you have a $80,000 loan, half a percent is probably not going to really matter that much because, and I might even come back to you and say, you know, you're good right where you are. I make money by doing your loan, but I'm not going to do a loan that makes no sense. I've been doing this for January of 33 years. I'm not going to pull the wool over your eyes or sell you on a mortgage that does you no good, but puts a paycheck in my pocket. I can promise you that. All right. Now, what I want to do in this segment is let's go over a credit hack, or I might go over two with you. So the first piece of this puzzle is your credit. Let's look at your credit. Let's not even worry about your score just for a moment. Let's look at your credit to see, is everything correct? Okay, so there's different websites you can go to. There's Credit Karma, there's Credit Sesame, there's all these other things. You can go to one place and get all this information from me. I created a website. It's called creditscoresandmore.com. I didn't create this website to become a millionaire. I created this website because when people call me, the most likely, if I cannot help them, it's two reasons. Reason one is no down payment or lack of. Well, I have different programs that will give you grant money for your down payment. Number two, your credit scores. Most people know their credit scores either through one of the free systems or, you know, Discover Card or whatever else they might be using. There's two different scoring systems. One is called the Vantage Score. That's the free scores you get. No lender in the country uses that credit score to grant you any credit approvals, period. None. It's basically an educational site. The credit scores that you need to use or that lenders use to grant you approvals on credit applications for mortgages, cars, even insurance, department store cards, anything is called your FICO. Okay. So I suggest you do, let's walk you through this. Go to creditscoresandmore.com. Click number one. Step number one will give you your Vantage Score. Well, you're going to say, Dan, you just told me that nobody uses the Vantage Score when it comes to approving my loans. They don't. However, I like this show. I like my YouTube channels. I like my Facebook channels. All my data that I have out there is educational. I'm not here to sell you anything. This isn't an infomercial. I want to educate you so you're an educated consumer. So we go to creditscoresandmore.com. We click number one. It'll give you your free system. It is an educational tool. It'll give you one credit score number. Well, truly, you have over 30 different credit scores, but it'll give you one to make it simple. And it'll give you a whole bunch of information in regards to your credit. You can look at all your creditors. You can go through and see, you know, what's affecting you, what's not affecting you, what credit cards might be best for you, what car loans might be best for you, and give you a whole bunch of educational tools. But step two is where we want to go. Step two will give you your true credit scores, your FICO, from all the credit agencies, every combination of scores you have, and there's over 30 of them. I won't go into detail on those. But we got to get, or you have to get your credit scores to do this first hack. We want to look at all of that data for accuracy. Most people, 3 out of 5 people, have misinformation on their credit reports. So what I want you to do is get your credit scores, all of them, go through that system, and let's see if there's inaccuracies. And next week's show, I'm going to go over a whole new system with you of what I have, what I'm involved in now to help you with your credit and get you to the next level, to a system that will help you put dispute letters together. It'll help you reach out to these companies. It'll give you advice. It'll give you counseling. It'll give you a whole slew of information and tools at your disposal to help get your credit scores to the next level. So that's my hack of the day. If you have any questions, please give me a call at 833-DAN-FRIO. That's D-A-N-F-R-I-O. Leave us a message there. Might even get played on the air. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Earlier in the show, we talked with Ron Sandick, and we were talking about Illinois and Illinois real estate, the taxes, and just a bunch of things that are affecting homeowners and potential homeowners, and you know what we face in the future, where there might be a kind of an exodus from the state. And we all know that is happening. I don't think it's happening in droves. It's being publicized, but I think it is happening. So I want to do a little segment to realtors out there to help you with your business in 2020. So it's going to be a little bit tougher ride, I think, for realtors coming up to sell people on buying homes. So it's hard enough to find somebody that wants to buy a house, trying to find a house. But it's also harder, I think, or going to be harder to talk those into why home ownership? Why don't I just rent? Because houses aren't really appreciating much. Taxes are crazy. I might not be here forever, or there's an excuse after an excuse after an excuse. But is there still value in home ownership? And so what I want to do is I want to give you some tools going into 2020 that I think can help you. I've been doing this for 33 years. That doesn't mean I'm great. What it does mean is I have a lot of exposure to this, and I've done probably thousands and thousands of mortgages through this time. So let me reach out. What I would like to do in 2020 is trying to partner with as many realtors as we can. Not a true partnership, but I wanted to start putting on educational seminars to do this. If you're more educated than your competition, you'll win. I'm a huge proponent of knowledge. You can sell better if you know what you're selling. I did a conference one time, and I walked in with a paper bag, and I had three jiggly things inside. And I walked up to the sales manager, the national sales manager, and I jiggled the bag in front of him and said, "Okay, you're probably the best person here to sell. It's like, sell me this pen. But I want you to sell me what's inside this bag." And he kind of looked at me strange, and he's like, "Well," and he went to open it. I was like, "Eh, but you can't open it." And he kind of looked at me even more strange. I said, "That's what it's like." Well, basically, his comment was, "I really don't know. If I don't know what's in there, I really can't sell it." Exactly. There was light bulbs popping up all over the place. My thing was, we have a lot of loan officers out there that are trying to sell mortgages to people. They don't even know half the stuff involved. You know, they might not know all the programs. They might not know the intricacies on, you know, what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac do. What's the differences between how one might ask for reserves and the other one not, and all these other things. Probably 90% of loan officers out there don't have a clue of that. So I want to reach out to the realtors. It's going to be tough enough to sell a house, but also you need to educate yourself on programs. What I want to do is I want to reach out and say, here, let me give you some ideas on things that I want to talk to you about, some different programs. I'm going to do this briefly. But what I want you to do is, if you're out there and you're a realtor and you really want to strive in 2020, I want you to give me a call. So I hired a trainer. We have a trainer on staff, a real estate trainer that'll come out. I'll pay the cost for it. He'll come out there and train you on sales as well as programs. So if we can help you, and there's no catch to this, basically, I want to help you increase your business. If you find value in this, Hopefully then in turn, you see the value that I can create for you as well. And then there's a two-way street. So what I want to go over today is some programs that you might not know about. And then again, I want to show you the programs I have, the knowledge that I have behind this. Also, what I'd highly suggest you do, check me out on YouTube and my podcasts, The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I post every day. I give a snapshot of what happened for today's rates, why it happened, what's probably going to happen the next day, next week, next month. I go through the economic calendars. I go through trends and all this other stuff. I probably get 6-7 calls a day just from my YouTube channel, people from all over the country wanting my help because they're like, I'm following on YouTube and I feel that you get it. You know, you're educated enough on this. And I'm competing against the Quicken mortgages and the guaranteed rates and the Wells Fargo, all the people with big money, and they're finding me on YouTube. So I want to go over some programs with you that you might not know even exist. Okay. So one of the biggest things right now is down payment assistance. If you can't help a client, a lot of people are not buying, and I'm in Illinois. If you're throughout the country, I'd like to do this as well. Give me a call. If you're a realtor, we can even do, conference calls and Skype and things like that I can set you up with the trainer. Again, there's no cost to it. I'll cover the cost for you. I think he's like $1,500 for his training sessions. I'll cover that. And if you see value in this, hopefully then you'll use me. But in Illinois, we have a program called IDA. So if I can't help a client or you can't help a client, the most common theme behind that is one of two things. One is their credit. And I actually created a credit website that we discussed in the first segment, creditscoresandmore.com. Two is your down payment. Well, in Illinois, we have a program called IDA. You might be familiar with this. You might not be. If you're a realtor, you probably do, but your lender might not be set up with the system. Brokers are not or do not have access to IDA, most that I know of. I am one of the handful of companies picked by the state of Illinois that I can offer this program. It'll give you up to, and in 2020, it's going up. You have the potential of getting up to $12,500 in grant money for your down payment. So that's IDA. So I can help you or those with down payment money. I'll also help the clients with their credit scores. Okay. In the next few weeks, I'm actually going to have a representative from WIDA, that is the Wisconsin Down Payment Assistance Program, them coming in. And I'm also in the process of reaching out to Indiana. So if you're out there and you're a realtor and you want to know, you know, does my state offer this? Let me know. I'll do the research for you and find it. Okay. So I can help those clients that are lacking the down payment with grant programs. Number two, it's amazing how many realtors and loan officers are working with a veteran and they don't know they're working with a veteran. Because I'll come across a veteran every week, that's not an exaggeration, who's calling me that wants to refinance or do something in regards to a mortgage. And when I go through my questions, I'm like, are you a veteran? Yes, I am. God bless you and thank you for your service. Do you have a VA loan now? No. Have you ever taken a VA loan? Nope, I never use my entitlees. Why? There's a lot of veterans out there that have a VA benefit that aren't using it. It's 100% financing. Let me give you a little trick on this too. And I bet you, you know, most loan officers, if they're listening out there, and probably most of you realtors don't know this. If you're working with a veteran who is mostly, I won't say 100%, I think the ratio is 70% disabled, two huge benefits. One is there is no lender fee. There's no closing fee. So that could save them $1,500 there, okay? The next thing is they do not pay real estate taxes. You heard me right, and hopefully your radio wasn't fuzzing. They pay no real estate taxes. So just think, especially in the state of Illinois, our taxes are high. So if you buy a $250,000 house, you're probably looking at $7,000, $8,000 in taxes. That's, let's just say, $600-$700 a month. They don't have that cost. So maybe they can afford, and I'm not trying to push them into the biggest house and put them in a huge payment, what they're comfortable with. but maybe they can afford a $300,000 house instead of a $200,000 house because there's no taxes. These are little things that we can help you with to try to sell more houses in 2020. All right, so that's another one. Believe it or not, Illinois, and if you're in these areas, you probably know, but a lot of people do not realize this, is there's USDA loans in Illinois. I live in St. Charles. You go a little bit past me. I did a condo recently with a USDA loan. No down payment. 100% financing. So that's that part of it. Now let's get into another program. You do not have to be a first-time home buyer purely to get qualified for the 3% down payment programs. There's another benefit that you have that your loan officer or you might not know. So again, that person only has, you know, I only have like 2-3%. Well, you need 5 or 10. No, you don't. That's that one. Then renovation loans. If your clients are looking to buy a home that needs TLC or needs repaired or needs fixed or an addition on, there's multiple programs that I have. There's not just FHA 203Ks. There's more than that. And if you don't know that, you're missing sales. So let me know if I could be of help to you. Please give me a call. This isn't an infomercial. I'm actually reaching out to you saying, I'm here to help. My tools, my sites, my radio station is basically educational. I don't really talk as an infomercial about mortgages. I'm here to educate you. So if I could be of help, let me know. You can call me at 844-775-LOAN, which is 5626. You can also check out my website at thefrio team.com or email me at D for Dan, Frio at parksidelending.com. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. If you'd like to call in to the station to ask questions for the show, and you have a chance of getting your questions actually aired, so be prepared, call me at 833-DAN-FRIO, D-A-N-F-R-I-O. So thank you so much for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, please click down below and subscribe. Share the video if you're listening on this on the radio or on my podcast. Thank you so much, and I hope you tune back the next time we're on. God bless. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626 or online at thefrioteam.com.